Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the TAN Talk Radio Network.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Return the sender. Return the sender. I gave a letter to the postman. He put it in his sack. Bright and early next morning, he brought my letter back.
She wrote upon it,
return the sender. Address unknown. No such number. No such song. We had a quarrel. A lover's pact.
I write, I'm sorry, but my letter keeps coming back.
Oh, yeah. So return the sender. Thank you. Thank you very much. I haven't got my letter. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works. I am back. I am Paul Malloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. We thank you very much for joining us. It is the day after the 4th. The 5th. That's what it is. Monday, July the 5th. I guess it's supposedly our national holiday. Everybody in government always wants a day off. So since Sunday was the 4th, they get Monday the 5th off. In a few minutes, Chris Kobach is going to join us. He is an attorney representing ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and Texas sheriffs in a lawsuit against the Biden administration for willful border violations. So that should be interesting. Stay tuned for that. And a bunch of Democrats have criticized our July 4th celebration as hypocritical because of what they see as continued racism these days. Meanwhile, Joe Biden continues to stumble in his handling of media questions. If you've noticed these recent moments when he actually gets a question, we're going to get some thoughts on both of these things from the proprietor of the Barber Poll himself, Andrew Ceraci, a little bit later in the show. And a new poll is out showing what people think of how Biden is handling the nationwide crime academic, or epidemic, I guess it is. So we're going to take a look at that poll. That'll be a little bit later in the show as well. And in our ultimate top 10, if you remember, on our last show, we gave you the 10 states that alphabetically and the strangest named town in those 10 states. We're going to go to the next 10 states, same deal. Strangest named town in these states. It'll be between, alphabetically, between Hawaii and Maryland. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircut, my friends, in the Tampa Bay area. Gentlemen, it's Andrew's Master Barbershop. Also, don't forget, Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy, start out your day with them. It makes your day that much brighter. Okay, well, it's good to be back, Ed. I have a little issue. I have no computer. And, of course, you know how I rely on printing everything. I'm sort of like Biden. If I don't have my notes in front of me, I think I will have a cognitive breakdown here. So you're going to have to stay with me. They have to watch me.
Well, at least we know you have a computer. I mean, you are the last living soul on the planet that does not have a cell phone.
I know. And by the way, I'm getting a cell phone.
No.
Yeah, and it's going to be all up to date. I'll learn how to text.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'll learn how to text.
I'll have to find you an 8-year-old that can help you program it.
Yes. I'll hire one. Yeah. So my computer crashed on Tuesday. That was the last time we did our show. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, I bring it in the morning, and there's a little guy at Columbia Plaza. You know where Columbia Plaza mm-hmm. is in Dunedin there. And let me give them a little shout-out, Race Connecting Point. They're actually very good. Mm-hmm. However, they had to get a new tablet for me. Mine was shot. And so we got the exact same tablet, but the mailman or whatever, it was a 2-day delivery deal. That the whole thing fell apart. The whole thing fell apart. Not the computer.
Okay.
Hopefully that won't. The 2-day delivery. It was coming from Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
I could have hitchhiked up there and got it myself and hitchhiked back, and I would have had it by now.
Right.
So maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
So that's why I'm kind of giving everybody a heads up on that. This kind of saddens me. We just had the 4th of July, right? Have you been hearing some of these Democratic lawmakers diss the 4th of July? Can't they at least leave us one day in peace where we don't have to hear about racism? I'm getting tired of it a little bit.
They're pulling down statues. What's the difference?
It's so
rewriting our history.
You know,
attempting to.
I'm old enough to remember when the parades and everybody was so proud,
right?
Everybody dressed in red, white, and blue. And we had the floats down, you know, the middle of the town, and we had the American Legion, you know, all of that, right? We took a day to just kind of be proud of the country that we have. Anyway, one Democratic lawmaker, several left-wing figures, used the 4th to share controversial statements disparaging the founding of our country. Democratic Congressman Cori Bush of Missouri tweeted this: "When they say that the 4th of July is about American freedom, remember this. The freedom they're referring to is for white people. This land is stolen land, and black people still aren't free." Now, I don't want to hear that right now. Did we do bad things with Indians and explorers, all of that? You know what? There isn't one country in this world that didn't have something going on like that. So I don't know where these people are going to go where they're not going to have that issue. And this is hundreds of years later, and we're trying our best to keep the peace around the world and to keep people safe in this country. That's what our country is all about.
You know, if you look, if somebody makes a statement like that, you'd think you'd go out and you'd see division, that you would see whites over here and blacks over there.
Right.
But, you know, we go
not
out.
Not that at all.
I was out. I mean, everybody was just having a good time. But
exactly.
They just want to invent these things and put them in people's minds.
Exactly. They're exactly. Let's see. Former MSNBC anchor Touré. I don't even know who that is. Anyway, was far more vocal. She tweeted this: "F blank blank K Independence Day. Not only were we not free, the whole reason the colonies wanted independence was because Britain was moving toward abolishing slavery." I never heard that one before, by the way. And she says, "Why should black people celebrate a day so wrapped up in our enslavement?" It's a he, by the way, sorry. He also tweeted out his own opinion piece for the website that's called F blank blank K 4th of July. The Griot. The website's the Griot. And he says that word, 4th of July. "The only Independence Day I recognize is Juneteenth." Then there's Alyssa Milano. You know who she is. She disparaged the 4th by sharing a TikTok video of herself reading, "Reminder, the United States was founded on the unjust treatment of Native Americans, Africans, and other people of color." So
why don't these people go live somewhere else?
Exactly. If there's a better place for you to go, go there.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, we're making things better. The things have been, when it comes to race relations, I think they're probably better than they've ever been. Now, couldn't they be better? Everything can be better.
Mm-hmm. On both sides, by the way.
Exactly.
I want to say both sides.
Yeah. And so that's enough of that. That's enough of that. Did you have a good 4th, Ed?
Yes. Yeah,
I didn't ask you.
I wound up going to downtown Dunedin and watched the fireworks down there.
Yeah, was it good?
Yeah. And we were talking about this last hour that there were an abundance of fireworks going off by some of the major cities. I think that maybe some of them had an extra stash of them because there were no fireworks last year.
Right,
so
exactly.
So maybe they doubled up on them this year. Who knows?
Yeah. All right. Let us take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Chris Kobach. He's an attorney. We're going to talk about Biden's border blunders.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Yeah, hello, everybody. We have a great new show coming up for you on Thursdays from 5 p.m.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back. Monday, July the 5th. It's a day that a lot of people are celebrating. The 4th of July, because the 4th fell on a Sunday. Hey, we're delighted to have Chris Kobach join us. He is the lead attorney in a suit against the Biden administration. He represents ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement people, and Texas sheriffs. They are accusing the Biden administration of willfully violating our laws. I think everybody that has a brain, Chris, can see that they are ignoring the laws. It's so frustrating. And I don't know why the press is letting them get away with it. But tell us a little bit, if you would, maybe a little background on the suit and some of the details.
Yeah, happy to do so. Yeah, this lawsuit, we brought it on Thursday last week in Galveston, Texas, on behalf of a group of Texas sheriffs and a group of ICE officers. And these are officers who are suing President Biden and the political leadership at ICE and the Department of Homeland Security, because not only are they not allowing ICE officers to enforce the law against illegal aliens, the Biden administration is actually compelling ICE officers to break federal law themselves. There are three different federal statutes that tell ICE officers, under these circumstances, you must detain and deport illegal aliens. And under this new Biden policy, basically ICE's hands are tied. They are not allowed to follow federal law and place these people into removal proceedings or deportation proceedings. And it hurts the Texas counties and sheriffs as well, because these sheriffs are facing an unprecedented crime wave. Their detention costs are up. Their crime investigation costs are up. And this is the first time in history that local law enforcement has teamed up with ICE officers to sue a president, and it's high time, because this president has just been lawless in his approach to immigration.
Yeah, I'm delighted to hear this, actually. But and now states are getting, they're taking over their own border enforcement. I know it's a federal responsibility. One of the few things, if you really read the Constitution, one of the few things that our federal government is supposed to be doing is protecting our country from from outside forces, really, and here they are totally negligent on this. We know that. So the states individually, look at Texas now, what the governor is doing. They're actually going to build their own wall. So I'm glad you're doing this. You would think, I don't know, there'll be challenges, I suppose. What is the procedure? Where do you go first in the court system to make this challenge?
Well, we're in federal district court right now.
Okay.
And we will be asking the judge to grant a preliminary injunction to stop the policy from continuing while we argue the case.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the case will be argued swiftly enough that we can get a final decision. You know, unfortunately, the courts are so slow, but one thing that is possible is a preliminary injunction. And then we would, presumably the losing side would then appeal to the Fifth Circuit, and then potentially the case might go all the way to the Supreme Court. But this is such a slam dunk case. It's cut and dry. The federal statute says the ICE officers shall take custody when a sheriff calls them up and says, I have an illegal alien. They shall deport people who've been removed from the country before. And just to give you an idea of how bad this Biden policy is, you know, the Biden administration will try to defend it by saying, well, we need to prioritize, and we don't need to just deport every illegal alien. That's always how they try to spin something like this. But bear in mind, this is worse than anything we've seen before. But the problem with their answer is it ignores the facts. These aren't just harmless people who are here looking for a job. Most of the cases we're talking about where ICE is denying the sheriff's permission to bring someone over who's been arrested for a crime, these are serious crimes. We have in our complaint that we filed on Thursday cases of illegal aliens who've committed rape of a child, aggravated sexual assault on a child, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, larceny, burglary, domestic violence, carrying a prohibited weapon, possession of drugs, resisting a law enforcement officer, driving under the influence. The list goes on and on. These are serious, dangerous illegal aliens the Biden administration is not allowing to be deported.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Now, by the way, we're talking with Chris Kobach, lead attorney representing ICE and Texas sheriffs in a lawsuit. Chris, also, you were the former Secretary of State in Kansas. And you've been a busy man with all your stuff here.
I have.
Yes, indeed.
The two areas of immigration enforcement and securing our elections. And isn't it interesting that the left is attacking both these days?
Yeah, indeed. You were so right about that. Well, at least in the courts with the elections, it seems like some of the common sense rules for states and voting security are coming through. Anyway, I want to get back to this situation at the border. Alejandro Mayorkas, who is head of the Homeland Security, on February 18th, issued a memorandum effectively preventing ICE officers from detaining or removing illegal aliens. What was in his mind, other than a directive, I guess, from Biden, to stop enforcing these things? Why would he do that? And where does he get off doing? Where does he get that kind of authority?
Well, he doesn't have that kind of authority. That memorandum, which is at the center of this lawsuit, is what violates federal law. He tries to make discretionary allowing ICE political leadership to decide not to deport these people what federal law says is mandatory. You must deport these people. And so it is a lawless executive order. I mean, I'm sure if the Biden administration had effective control of the U.S. Senate, they'd try to do it with the law. But because they don't have the ability to pass a law, they are breaking the law with an executive order, and that's why we're suing. And, you know, it's a sad situation when you have to have a lawsuit by law enforcement officers to allow them to follow the law and do their job. But that's where we are right now. This administration is so lawless. And let me put a little perspective on this. Remember 2 years ago when the left was chanting in the streets, abolish ICE, abolish ICE, and in the Democrat presidential primaries, when they were asked if they wanted to abolish ICE, and virtually all of them raised their hand and said that's what they wanted to do. Well, this is what they're effectively doing. They're not abolishing ICE exactly. They are dismantling ICE by taking away the ICE officer's authority to deport people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you combine that with the opening of the border, you have complete lawlessness in the immigration sphere. And that's why we're going to court. We are going to court to force them to follow the law.
Yeah, it's wonderful to hear that. Now, the governor of Texas has started this effort to get a wall built along the Texas border with Mexico. In fact, our own governor, Ron DeSantis, is sending people over there to help in the security of Texas right now. I think most people certainly understand that. Certainly people that live around the border in Texas must understand that. Do you think this will be deemed successful? Do you think that that this fence, you know, with the state running the fence line along the way there? And also, do you think it might be a motivation of sort of a kick in the pants to Biden to get back up and get that border wall secured? What do you think about all that?
Well, to your last question first, no, unfortunately, I don't think anything will motivate Biden to
really
border wall. But to your first point, could it be successful? Yes, it'll take political will and it'll take money. I was involved with the group We Build the Wall, which produced the first ever citizen-funded border wall near El Paso. And we did it. It's perfectly legal to do so, especially on private property along the border. And Texas is almost entirely private property along the border. But, you know, to again put this in perspective, part of the reason that the border crisis right now is hitting Texas the hardest is because the Trump administration constructed its 400 miles of wall mostly in Arizona and New Mexico, where there's what's called the Roosevelt Reservation, that is basically the federal government owns a 60-foot wide easement along the border. And so it's legally very easy to move quickly and build a wall, which is what President Trump did.
Mm-hmm.
But Texas is a little trickier because there's a lot of private property along the border, which involves condemnation for the government to get permission to have access to build the wall. So it's Texas has got a problem. It's wide open.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad Governor Abbott is addressing the problem.
Now, they've got a natural border to some extent, the Rio Grande River, right?
Well, yes and no. I mean, it is a river, but in many places it's so shallow you can wade across.
No question about that.
And even where you can't wade, you can swim across. It might be 50 yards or less. So it's not really that formidable a barrier.
Why do you think, maybe this is an obvious answer to this, why do you think the media aligns itself, it seems to, I say mainstream media, that's a misnomer. The libstream media might be a better.
Yeah.
Why do they align themselves with this philosophy of an open border?
Well, several reasons. I mean, one is that they see this as a an avenue toward bringing in more people who will vote for a welfare state. I mean, that's the left used to be very quiet about this. The only one who talked about it was Barney Frank.
Good old Barney Frank.
From Massachusetts, you know, more than a decade ago. But now they're very open about this, both in the media and among officeholders on the left. They seem to think that if they can bring in more people who will be dependent on the welfare state, that they will be bringing in more Democrat voters. So I think the media is going along with that. The media also just has been historically anti-law enforcement in every sector, whether it's the riots that we saw last year or this. They always fall against law enforcement.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. You know, there's one group of people that I don't think are that excited about this open border situation, and I think it's, quite frankly, it's African Americans. I don't see how that they are gaining anything by the influx of people that are pouring in, you know, into this situation. Maybe wrong about that, but with the lower paying jobs and everything else, a lot of African Americans, you know, have those kinds of jobs. And when you have an influx of these people across the border, I just wonder how that works. So I'm not so sure 100% of the Democrats are all excited about this.
Well, the interesting thing is the Democrat leadership are turning their backs on African Americans. You're absolutely right. There have been studies done on this that the jobs that are taken by illegal aliens disproportionately hurt African Americans. And it's just a matter of statistics. You look at the industries where illegal labor predominates, things like hotels, housekeeping in hotels. That industry now is full of illegal aliens where previously African Americans had a disproportionately high number of those jobs. You go down the list of the industries, and it hurts African Americans, and it actually hurts U.S. citizen Hispanic Americans as well. But the Democrat leadership ignores that, and they don't care. They just want to bring in more illegal labor.
Speaking about Democratic leadership, you would think they would worry, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, they'd worry a little bit. We got, you know, in about, 12 months? Not 12 months, but 15 months, we're going to have another election. And it's not looking good for the Democrats right now. I think this is an issue that's an easy winner for Republicans. You'd think that they would be more concerned just from that standpoint.
They certainly should be concerned, and I think you're right. It is an issue that Republicans should win on. The American public does not want an open border, does not want ICE chained to their desks and sheriffs unable to deliver illegal alien criminals to ICE for deportation. So I think you're right. The Democrats may have overplayed their hand here. This is unfortunately a situation where now Americans are going to have to try to correct it at the ballot box.
Well, Chris, good luck with this lawsuit. It makes so much sense. I know a lot of people are behind you with this one. Thank you so much for doing this, making that effort. And thank you for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Chris Kobach. Good luck, Chris. All right. Let's take our break. When we come back, among other things, we're going to talk a little bit about Biden continuing to stumble, the way he handles work. We're going to talk about this latest question he got on how he handled it. We're going to get some thoughts on that and some other things from the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceraci.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
And we are back on the 5th of July. Are you celebrating still? Do you still have your flags out? It's a federal holiday, by the way. Ain't going to get any mail today, which bodes badly for me, Ed. I was hoping I'd get my new computer, my little tablet. I won't get it today. By the way, did you watch, Ed, did Biden try to answer a question on whether Russia was behind a recent ransomware attack? He was in Traverse City, Michigan the other day. Maybe you didn't see it. It was kind of awkward. Okay. Well, he was shopping. I think he was going after some ice cream there, by the way, inside of a store in Traverse City. And so one of the reporters, and they rarely ask him anything tough other than your favorite ice cream color, you know.
Right.
They said, with the most recent hack by the Russians, would you say that this means, and then it was sort of broken off, Biden stops him and says, we don't know yet if it was the Russians. Then he says, I'll be in better shape to talk about it. Hold on for one second. He shuffles around in his pockets and he takes out a piece of paper, puts on his glasses. He said he had just been briefed on the hack. But then he kind of was stumbling around. It was like, I mean, and we're laughing, but he can't do anything standing on his feet without some teleprompter or a note. He can't do it.
So he pulled out a piece of paper. He's being briefed in his ear on the hack?
Not in his ear. A reporter was asking him a question, outright question. He couldn't seem to just answer the question without pulling out this piece of paper.
Oh.
In other words, he can't do anything standing on his own feet without having a teleprompter or notes.
Well, they can't fit that all in before morning nap time or,
It's getting scary, you know. He gets upset, too, by the way, when you ask him questions. He said, this is the holiday. Don't ask me these questions. It's a holiday. Okay. So when do we ask you the question? Because you're never around to take any question, right? So we got the proprietor of the barber pole with us, and I want to mention, Andrew, I noticed that Donald Trump was in Sarasota the other day. The first guy I thought about was you. Did you get a chance to go to that little gathering?
Well, I couldn't take the time to go to Sarasota. I'd have to leave the old man too long.
Okay, that's right. You are taking care of a...
But, you know, isn't it amazing? They say Biden won. In Ohio, the week before, there was 42,000 people. and in Sarasota, over 30,000.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, Biden can't hold his lips together without making a fool of himself, but yet Trump lost this election.
I know.
Let me tell you something. More and more people, Paul, are realizing, and you see more people saying Trump won, boats going by, banners flying with airplanes, Trump won, Trump won. You know what? People are fed up with it, Paul.
Yeah.
But you know, Biden was bragging the other day, and he did save 16 cents for hot dogs on the 4th of July.
Yes.
So, yeah, gas is $3 a gallon, but he saved 16 cents on the hot dogs.
$3 a gallon? Yeah, that's $4 and $5 a gallon.
This guy is a buffoon, and anybody that backs this guy has no clue of what's going on. Got to be most uninformed, dumb people in the world.
Yeah.
And just want to destroy the country. What did you think? What did you think about Vanessa Williams singing the Black National Anthem yesterday at the Capitol? What the hell is a Black National Anthem?
Yeah, I didn't read the story. I saw the headline about it, and I don't know what the Black National Anthem is either. Earlier, we had talked about some of these people that were saying, I would call them uninspiring, unpatriotic things about the 4th of July. And
oh, it's terrible. You know, I'm surprised. You know, I got mad because if they played the Black National Anthem, I wanted the Italian National Anthem.
Yes.
When the moon hit your eyes.
You know? Yeah, Dean Martin sang it best.
They didn't play that, did they?
No, they didn't.
That's the problem here.
I know. No, I agree with you. You know, it's fun. Go ahead.
Kamala Harris, well, she's going around looking for the root of the problem on immigration at the border. The problem is it's 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. She doesn't have to go far.
That's right.
You know, what is it?
I know, it's ridiculous. I think people now know, I think virtually everybody that has a brain and has been following anything knows that they have completely abdicated responsibility for the border. I mean, that's just, everybody knows that now.
And then what do you think about the Democrats trying to blame the Republicans for defunding the police?
And then there's the police and crime. Look at the crime in all the major cities. In fact, I've got
Look at your city yesterday, your old city of Chicago there, Buck.
Ah, it's terrible.
They're rioting in the streets, and CNN says children playing on the 4th of July in the city streets.
It's very sad what's going on.
Disgusting.
Here is, speaking about the crime, Americans are giving Biden dismal ratings on his crime handling. New poll, ABC News, Washington Post poll, by the way. No, that's not a conservative organization deal. They reveal in that poll just 38% of Americans approve of Biden's response to crime spikes.
Did you ever see how many stupid people? There's 38% of this country. Is that stupid, Paul?
I know. They're probably more.
I would like to see these people face to face just so I could tell them you're dumber than a box of rocks.
Yeah. You know what? They're uninformed. That's probably a lot of it. No, they don't follow it. Huh?
If they're uninformed, they're stupid because the information is right there in front of you.
Right. Right.
Stupid, lazy, terrible American people.
Now, Biden.
You need to ship him out to Venezuela.
Biden, of course, is. And the Democrats use this little ploy. As soon as anybody wants to talk about crime, rather than talking about our major cities and the way Democrats have run those cities and the way people are just allowed to go around doing what they are doing, they want to bring in the gun issue again, where they want to get, for some reason, I don't know how they can get more laws stuffed into the gun laws. They got so many gun laws already, and more gun laws are in these cities. They have more restrictive gun laws. Obviously, the gun laws are not stopping bad people from getting guns. And so this is, but that's where they go. They go with the gun and the Second Amendment situation.
Well, you know, Paul, number one, you can go to a Trump rally, you can go to a Trump protest, you don't see anybody getting shot, you don't see any property getting destroyed, okay? The moron mayor in Chicago better realize the only ones that have guns are criminals. But I don't think she realizes too much because she's trying to hold her eyes in her head more often.
Lori Lightfoot and the Loafers. I mean, Lori Lightfoot. I don't know. You know, they're trying.
What is she, part Indian?
I don't know what she is.
What's the name Lori Lightfoot? She must be one of the black American Indians that they had. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Who was that? That woman that was part Indian running for the presidency, how quickly we forget their names. She might be related to her. So anyway, obviously Trump is making a dent. But let me ask you this. He hit all the high notes in his Sarasota speech. But you know what? For some reason, he did not mention DeSantis.
That's right. And I got the answer for you, too, because
okay.
I met with his parents yesterday.
Okay, please.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Ron was very, very busy getting that building demolished.
Yes.
He had to be there for that.
That's true.
Taking care of business there. Trump and him decided. Trump didn't bring him up. Ron didn't say nothing because you know what? Nothing said. Nobody can blame anything on anything.
Yeah.
Ron was doing his job. He couldn't make an appearance.
Right. Well, he certainly had a good reason not to get there. There was the fact that I guess the people wondered why didn't he at least mention Ron's name. Now, it says here, let's see, where is it here? He did mention Ron. While he gave shout-outs and highlighted plenty of his political allies in Florida, Trump stayed quiet about DeSantis, it says.
I thought I was the only one that noticed that. Then when he sat there, he didn't. He just said the governor. He didn't call him DeSantis.
Yeah, you know, I must say, I think Trump's a little jealous of Ron. What do you think?
I don't think there's no reason to be, because I'll be honest, I don't think Rod's going to draw a crowd of 42,000 people.
Well, no, not at this stage. We know that.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Biden.
I don't think it at all.
Biden?
Nothing mentioned, nothing said was the best thing possible, because it didn't give him nothing to talk about. Let him all speculate.
So you don't think that there's any tension going on there?
Nope.
By the way, do you think, because you do have an inside track, let's be honest.
You know
the Biden family very well.
There's no tension going on. They handled it properly.
Excellent. Do you think that Biden is thinking? DeSantis. You think DeSantis is thinking about 2024 and running for president?
No, he is not at all. He is specifically focused on the 2022 election, period.
Okay.
For a fact.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he's in the driver's seat in Florida right now. I think he's doing the right thing. We still keeping our fingers crossed, although I guess at this point it's no longer a rescue operation in Surfside, Florida. It is now, whatever the term is, they are just going to be moving along.
Recovering the bodies. You know
recovery, that's
about
it.
That? Now, you got these people that were in the other half of the building, and their places were still intact. Now, they demolished the building. What if these people had $20,000, $30,000 stashed in their condo?
I know.
The expensive drive. I got news for you. I would have been going there. I wouldn't care what they said. I'm going in my own risk and getting my stuff. It's important. See you later.
Yeah. Well, don't you think... Did they have any way of recovery of their personal effects before they decided...
From what I understand, they just went in there looking for pets that didn't come out.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I got news for you. If I had some money stashed up in there and I had expensive jewelry, I was going after it, because that's stuff you can't prove on the insurance.
I know, Andrew. That's pretty dangerous, though. Half the building's torn away.
That's all right. The other half is still standing. I don't think my 200 pounds would have made a difference at that
point. I guess I didn't think of that, actually. Such a sad situation, though, you know. Then we've got that... We've got that weather pattern and a possible hurricane, so they wanted to get that thing down anyway because of the situation. Get it all down.
Well, I can tell you that I believe this is just the start of these high-rise condos falling apart.
You think so?
You know, it's like they said, we never had this problem before. Well, of course you did. When I moved here 40 years ago, the only motels along the beach were mom and pop hotels. If you were lucky, they were two floors.
That's true, a long time ago.
Okay, then all of a sudden, in the early 80s, they started building these high-rise condos.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, not for nothing. We live on a peninsula. You dig down 15, 20 feet, you hit water.
That's true.
Okay, now, salt is the biggest corrosive to concrete, number one. Number two, they got rebar reinforcing this concrete. You get a crack in the concrete, salt water gets in there, salt air gets in there, it corrodes the concrete and the rebar even more. The rebar expands and cracks. I think you're going to see, after 40 and 50 years that these condos have been in place, you're going to see a lot of them falling apart.
That's kind of scary.
I think that there's going to be a very very high decrease in pricing and high-rise condos on the water.
I think Ed might differ. Ed, what do you think?
Well, no, I was going to say, what's scarier is four doors down from that condo, there is an exact sister replica of that condo.
That's right.
And I bet you if one condo association skipped inspections or paid off or whatever, I would think that the other one did too. I don't know.
You're 100%. And I'm telling you, you can go along that whole waterway with all those high-rise condos. And I guarantee if they were built 50 years ago, with the rebar into the concrete, they're all going to have these problems. If you look at it today, they do a lot of reinforcing with concrete with fiberglass rather than rebar.
What's rebar? Explain that.
Rebar is the metal bars, you see. They're a half-inch thick, maybe. And, you know, the length, they reinforce the concrete. They put these metal bars into the concrete.
I see.
Okay, and then pour the concrete over it. This way it strengthens the concrete. Mm-hmm. However, the rebar, once moisture hits it, gets in there, the concrete, it rots.
Well, now,
salt is the biggest corrosive in the world to concrete.
Now, in the case of this condo coming down, there was a huge leakage. Remember they were able to show that videotape of all that water was pouring in? So it was just really weakening the whole structure.
I was going to say, if you look on Google Earth, only just a couple of years ago, there was nothing next to that condo. And in the last couple of years, they built a huge condo next to that. And they said during construction of that, the residents were complaining of a lot of vibration and stuff like that. The pool area, the deck, is where they said the major cracks were, that water was constantly getting down underneath, which can create a void underneath there. And then those condos are all on basically concrete pylons, and that is the parking garage. And over the years, you tell me that some people haven't backed into those things or...
Oh, you got to be kidding.
Or
you
know, dinged into them or whatever, and over the years, and it's gone unnoticed, whatever.
That's right.
It could be any one of those factors, but...
Well, you guys are scaring me. Maybe I'll never go up in a high-rise again in Florida.
Well, you look how... If you go on Google Earth, and look how close they are to the water. If you go on Clearwater Beach, you're not that close.
Oh, I see.
Okay, they're not that close. And this...
They were closer.
And this business of them being raised off the ground so you can park underneath them creates a whole lot of space of nothing.
So, in other words, what you mean is you don't have as strong a foundation.
Okay. Exactly.
But you got to realize that the ones in Miami were built 40 and 50 years ago. Clearwater Beach building codes have changed because that's just really started, what, in the last 15 years going crazy there?
Well, maybe it's interesting that in that Miami Beach area that more of these things haven't occurred then, right?
And there's another part of that, too. You can't drive 5 miles down the road here and see the condos that are going up. They're all made of matchbooks over there. They're all wood. The only thing that's concrete they're like 5, 6, 7 stories high, and right where New York used to be, there's a whole community there. All wood.
That's kind of scary.
All wood. The only thing concrete is the floor, the bottom floor, the foundation, and the elevator shafts.
Now, we're further away from the water, but still, I mean...
I'm just saying, when you got a hurricane or something coming through like that, I would not want to be in a wood structure.
Well, you got to realize, you know why they only build them 3 stories, don't you?
Why?
Because if they go above 3 stories, there's all different kinds of permits for the electrical wiring and everything going through, though.
Okay.
So they build them 3 stories.
Well, this is a very interesting discussion, as always, Andrew. I thank you so very much. I'm a little worried now about everything in Florida. We got to be careful. But I want to...
Biden will take care of it.
Oh, well, in that case, I feel much better.
Go out and buy some hot dogs.
And ice cream. All right. We'll talk with you tomorrow, my friend.
Have a good day.
All right. Bye. There he goes. The barber. The barber, Andrew Ceraci. Let's take a short break, and I do mean a quick one because we got some things to talk about. We'll be back. Got a good top 10, and we got some other things to talk about, including the Lightning.
Hey. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Come on, baby, don't you wanna go?
Hey, we are back. We are back. And remember, we were talking a little bit about Biden fumbling around trying to answer the question about the latest ransomware attack. Well, Russian hackers are evil. Are and then evil. That's the name of the group, apparently. They're demanding a $70 million ransom in Bitcoin for a decryption key after a cyber attack that has targeted 1,000 U.S. firms. The breach, which is, by the way, the largest ransomware attack on record, has hit the IT systems of up to 1 million companies across the globe. By breaching a company's U.S.-based software company called Kaseya, K-A-S-E-Y-A. Those affected include a school in New Zealand, a Swedish grocery chain, two major Dutch IT firms. The hackers are demanding $70 million to restore the data that they are holding ransom. Let's see here. They are linked to Russia. Have you ever heard of that group, R Evil, Ed? I don't think you
No,
have.
The one that hacked the pipeline was something dark something.
Yeah.
So it must be a different one.
But, you know, they got this overall parent company. It's very sophisticated.
Yeah.
And underneath, you got different hacking groups.
We didn't actually do anything about the last one except pay them off.
Well, that's the other thing.
So they're going to keep
Biden
doing it.
Biden supposedly presented Putin with a list of things you're not supposed to go attack.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thanks. Now he knows exactly what we want to protect and what he should attack. That was the dumbest thing.
Message well received.
Yeah. Remember, here's Kevin McCarthy on that. Remember when President Biden gave Putin a list of things that were supposed to be off limits for cyber attacks?
Not this, but you can hack everything else.
What he should have said is that all American targets are off limits. All right, Ed, before we get to a wonderful top 10, a continuation, by the way, of the strangest towns, the strangest named towns in each state. That's what we're doing. But before we do that, we may have a Stanley Cup championship again in this city tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They are playing game four in Montreal, and the Lightning are up 3-0. Tell us, are they going to do it?
I'd like to see them do it. I wouldn't be disappointed if they didn't do it tonight, because that means then they would come home Wednesday and get a chance to do it here,
and they could,
would be nice.
It would be. Do you think they would even think about losing the game? So
I don't know if
they
think about doing that. If it happens to fall that way, it falls that way. But I don't think they would purposely do that, because you really open yourself up to it.
Not only that, they have a chance to do a clean sweep.
Yeah.
And the last
time... Then on the other side, the Canadians might have some pride and play a little harder tonight, avoid getting swept, because that, you know... They only have hockey up there. That's all they have. And
poor.
To get swept is just
devastating. Wait. Having come from Canada, I can tell you that that is not true. They have a football
league. Well, that maple syrup and...
They got a Canadian football league. Yeah. Actually, it's quite an interesting way of playing. They only do three downs, not four downs. Oh, you know about that.
I know that. Right.
But anyway.
It'll be a quick... it was a great game on Friday. They really laid it to them, but I
think the outstanding player is Vasilevsky, the goalie.
Yeah, Vasilevsky. You know, and then looking at the center out there where they played Friday night, there was supposed to be only 3,500 fans in the building. I don't know if you saw that. But I don't know who counts on whether they're using the metric system or what.
You think there were more?
Oh, yeah. There was
I think so, too.
Well past half.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Well, I'm glad that they got fans. I hope they have even more fans there tonight.
I would like to see them come home and do it.
Okay.
It would be nice.
So you're going to root for Montreal.
No, I'm not going to.
You're going to root for Montreal so they can come home.
I'm just saying, I'm rooting for the Lightning to win, period. But if it should happen that they don't win it tonight.
You know, there is an incentive for that. I'll bet they're going to try because they want to do a sweep. It'll be the first time since the 90s that a team has swept in the Stanley Cup.
And they'd like to get that sweep back that they got swept a couple of years
ago. Exactly, against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Yeah. All right. Very good, Ed. Thank you. All right. It's time for what we call the top 10 strangest town names by state. Not really a top 10, except we're going to do the next 10 in a row. The last time we did our show, we did Alabama through Georgia. Okay. So today we're doing Hawaii through Maryland alphabetically. So
good luck with Hawaii.
Indeed. Wait till you hear it. Are you ready? We're going to start with Hawaii. Number 10 or Hawaii. Hawaii most is volcano.
Volcano.
Yeah.
That's too easy.
It is too easy and very appropriate too, by the way. All right. Drum roll for Idaho. Beer Bottle Crossing, Idaho. I kind of like to go there. Beer Bottle Crossing, Idaho. Drum roll for Illinois. Chicken Bristle. Now, I grew up in Illinois. I never heard of Chicken Bristle. Ever. What a name.
Heard of Mayor Beetlejuice?
That would work. Drum roll for Iowa. And I don't understand this, Ed. What cheer? What cheer? Two words. I don't understand. What cheer?
That's the name of the town?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that make any sense? They must have been drunk.
Things happen out there,
all
I
right.
guess. I don't know.
Drum roll for Kansas. Skiddy. Skiddy. S-K-I-D-D-Y. Skiddy, Kansas. Hmm. Must be slick there. Drum roll for Kentucky. Pig. Pig, Kentucky? I come from Pig. Drum roll for Louisiana. Waterproof.
Oh, that's all right.
Waterproof. Yeah, well, you need to be waterproof with, you know, with the Gulf and Lake Pontchartrain and all that. Okay. Drum roll for Maine. It's funny. Bald Head, Maine. Bald Head, Maine. Where is that? I never heard of it. Finally, drum roll for Maryland. Now, Biden comes from Maryland, right? Oh, he comes from Delaware. I got it mixed up. Anyway, accident. Accident, Maryland. Now, why would you want to name your town Accident? That does not bode well.
I mean, were these places named, what, 200 years ago? Who knows?
I know. I don't know. That's very interesting, isn't it? We're going to continue this tomorrow. We'll do the next 10. So that's the way things go. But, hey, we've got the hockey game. I don't know what our Rays are doing. Ugh. They've not been doing as well as we had hoped.
They got a problem.
Point.
They have a problem.
Do they?
Yeah.
They have pitching issues? Because I have not been following
that
them.
And combined with still nobody can hit, you know.
Oh, well.
They're still having that problem.
They have that problem as well.
They bring in Wander Franco from AAA, who was knocking the cover off the ball and batting like 350. Now he's hovering around 190 now. So he's got the Rays.
It sounds like a collective bad luck moment for them right now. Because look what they've been doing up until then.
If there's a pitching coach, you need to fire him. I mean, I'm sorry, a hitting coach.
A hitting coach.
Yeah, you need to fire him.
Maybe they don't have one. Maybe that's why they're
not
hitting.
Get one.
Tell you. All right, my friends, we thank you so very much for being with us. We are glad to be back. Have a happy 4th of July, unofficial, although it's the federal day. Keep the flags out. We'll be back. And remember always that freedom does indeed work.
I was chasing your direction. I was telling you no lies, and I was loving you.